Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest is from a very, very famous investment holding company called Remgro Limited, and he's Mr. Yanni Durand. Yanni, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, and a privilege to speak to you.
Tell us, Yanni, about Remgro. It's a business that, I think you told us earlier, started off as a dry cleaning company, was a tobacco company, just basically changed as the decades went along. But it always valued trademarks, so, and it always was seemed to be embedded in family businesses. Tell us a little bit more about the company.
Absolutely. As I always say, we're unashamedly in family-owned, controlled investment holding company. Started by our founder, Dr. Rupert, in the 1940s. As I said, he bought his first dry cleaning business in Pretoria, up north in South Africa. Then it evolved into a cigarette company, and we had some, he had built up some lovely brands in South Africa, also exported those brands overseas into Malaysia, Canada. So he built up an international business out of South Africa, and we're very proud of our founders. Eventually also invested in those early 40s in the wine industry to help the local farmers, and that has become also a very successful company. Mm-hmm. So it's built on these two really fundamental things, trademarks in the wine industry and the tobacco industry. Today we're still proud to own a piece of the wines of the liquor company. We've merged it recently with Heineken, so we're probably one of the biggest companies in the continent in terms of the liquor company, so we're very proud of that. We're not in the tobacco business anymore. We've unbundled that too, and it's part of the British American Tobacco. But yeah, so we're proud of our roots and our heritage.
And I think the key thing that you say there is that you're in it for the long haul, and because it's, I suppose, the family links are so strong, you're not looking for a 5-year return or a 3-year return. You're looking at decades, really, of investments and partnerships.
Absolutely, Bobby, you're 100% correct. So if you look at some of the investment that we've got on our balance sheet today, the liquor company, over 75 years old, if you go back to the original roots, our hospital group, Mediclinic, was started in 1984. Our partnerships with Total and Air Products has been over 40 years. So it's a long-term view that we take. We've invested in companies like Dark Fiber and Vumatel that started in 2007. We're still on their balance sheet today, and they're only turning profitable now. So now we take a long-term view.
Good, very patient. Tell us about your own route to CEO of the business, Yanni. You grew up in I think Port Elizabeth originally. You moved to Stellenbosch. Your father was a missionary man, so, and I believe he was a very famous anti-apartheid activist, so you had a very interesting background.
Yeah, I think at that point in time, if you think back in history and you look back on it, and I think I was very privileged to grow up in a household like that. It was anti-apartheid. It's just a wonderful thing, and the respect that I've got for my father, how he stood up for his principles, and that's some of the things I try to live off and learn from him and live out in the business environment today. So yes, yeah, so it's been an interesting journey from there. Even got some Irish connections. Some of my mates played. I played with him at Oxford for rugby. So some of my best mates come from Ireland.
I take it you were at the match between South Africa and Ireland in Paris not so long ago. I was there. And how was that day for you?
I actually unfortunately missed that game, but I attended the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the final. And I must say, I've aged about 15 years by 3 times, 1 point in a row. So I'm 15 years older. I'm now 70, not 58.
Of course, the Irish are coming back now to South Africa in July. A couple of games, a couple of tests. Are you feeling very confident?
Well, we haven't beaten the Irish since 2017, but we haven't played them in South Africa since 2017. So let's see what it goes out there. No, but I mean, I'm always amazed about the Irish and on the rugby side. And it's not the most popular sport in Ireland. I think it's number 4 in the row, number 3 in the row. Imagine how you bat well outside your league. So you and the coaching, the intelligence, the way they play. I love Irish rugby.
Tell me about doing business in South Africa. Again, you mentioned that one of the businesses that you're involved in now is around bringing fibre cable into townships. And you were saying that really the route out of poverty is by way of online education. Maybe you can just give us a little bit around the backdrop to that. The unemployment figures are quite startling in terms of how high they are. But in terms of overcoming that, do you think that online education is part of the solution?
I think it's an integral part of the solution. What we've done, the commitment in a township as we roll out fibre, is that every school that we pass will connect to the internet. Because if you go to the town, I mean, they've got no connections as we speak, and they've got no bandwidth. And data is still expensive in South Africa. And we actually want to democratize the internet and make it accessible and cheap for the people to come. And education is such an important, critical aspect of that. We've got a few lost generations of the youth, not properly educated. Some of them are unemployable, and we need to fix that. And I don't think we've got the human capital and the human resources at the moment. There's not enough teachers that can teach math, science, and all of these things. And the only solution is to get the best classes online, the best teachers online, and actually spread that throughout the South African community and get the kids educated via that, with support from the teachers. So it's not going to endanger their job. They will need to be supportive. And the people, it's not displacement of them. Yeah. It's actually a partnership between teachers and the digital internet and online classes. And I think that's the only way we can accelerate the education of the population of South Africa.
Finally, maybe I can ask you about your sense of optimism or otherwise for South Africa as a nation in terms of doing business here, in terms of the future. You've been a long time in your current role in Remgro. You talked earlier about maybe passing the baton on to somebody else, but do you leave with a sense of optimism, or will you leave with a sense of optimism?
My glass is always half full, and I think if you look at the South Africans are very resilient. I mean, despite load shedding, water shortages, poverty, they make a plan, and they survive one way or the other, and we still work through. We muddle through these things, resilient people. So I've got a lot of optimism in the South African population, and I think we'll eventually make a success of it. I mean, that's why we can win by 1.3 times in a row. We've got that ability to get through it at the end of the day.
All right, it always comes back to the rugby. Well, look, Yanni, it's an absolute pleasure to meet you. Thanks for saying hello to us, and real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.